Well, Fastamai, good evening. You are listening to Update here on Manx Radio. It's just gone 5pm. We're going to have a rundown of the day's main news before 5.30. Coming up tonight, the bus strike is in its third day. So how are passengers coping and is there any sign of a breakthrough? Also, the Department of Infrastructure has pulled its plans for flood defences and road improvements at West Quay in Ramsey. One local MHK, though, isn't impressed about the way it's been handled. We'll hear more about that shortly. A fresh warning from the Treasury Minister. If health spending keeps rising at its current pace, what is that going to mean for the island's finances? And in the House of Keys tomorrow, there'll be a question about what considerations been given to banning social media for those under 16 over here. If you've got any thoughts about that or anything else this evening, I'd love to hear from you. You can email studio@manxradio.com or text 166177. We'll start, though, as ever, with a roundup of the main news headlines with Simon Fastamai. Simon.
Fastamai. The infrastructure minister has been accused of withdrawing plans for sea defences along West Quay and Ramsey based on a handful of comments made on social media. Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper says there's been a lack of consultation with interested parties since the plan to erect a barrier wall 4 feet in height along the quayside was first mooted. The DOI claims today's decision to withdraw the plan is based on serious concerns raised locally about the scale and impact of the design. A road between Port St Mary and Port Erin has been closed due to sinkhole. The route along Four Roads to Beach Road is expected to stay shut until Thursday, though the closure time may be changed depending on the extent of the issue. The Treasury Minister says the government can't be accused of underfunding the health service this year after the Pink Book allocated £404 million to Manx Care. It's £45 million more than last year and is the first time funding has exceeded the Sir Jonathan Michaels formula. Further afield, Australia's Prime Minister has thrown his support behind any UK plan to remove Andrew Mountbatten-Windsor from the line of succession. Anthony Albanese has written to Keir Starmer, calling the allegations against the former prince grave. He's being investigated over claims of misconduct in public office. Benfica player Gianluca Prestigiani has been provisionally suspended over allegations of racial abuse against Vinicius Junior. UEFA's ruled he won't play for one match in his club's Champions League game with Real Madrid on Wednesday. He denies the claims against him. And the manager of a children's home used his access to vulnerable youngsters to sexually abuse boys and girls in his care for almost two decades. Malcolm Phillips was in charge at Skirkote Lodge Care Home in Halifax in West Yorkshire. Those are the headlines. More news at 6.
Thank you very much indeed, Simon. Now the weather brought to you by Manx Glass and Glazing. So this evening it's going to stay cloudy. There'll be outbreaks of rain and drizzle, but they will turn more patchy overnight. The fresh southwest winds will gradually ease as well. They'll back southerly this evening. Temperatures pretty mild overnight, actually. Cloudy and dull tomorrow. Some patchy light rain again and drizzle at times. Fresh southerly winds and maximum temperatures around 11. And it's pretty similar on Wednesday as well.
Manx Glass and Glazing can supply and install single, double and triple glazing. Call 674573 or visit the showroom on the Snugbrook Trading Estate.
It's coming up to 5 past 5. So we are in the third day of the bus strike here on the Isle of Man. Been hearing a lot about it throughout the day. Bus Fanning are posting regular updates about the services that are running. We're sharing those on our social media page. But how are would-be bus passengers reacting to the 10 days of strike action? For some, obviously, it means rethinking how they get about, but are they sympathetic to the cause or annoyed with what's happening? Well, John Moss has been in Ramsey to find out.
How long have you been waiting for?
Probably about half an hour now.
What are your thoughts on the bus strike? Is it inconveniencing you?
Of course it's inconvenienced me, but it's fair play at the end of the day. If they feel like they're not getting the adequate pay or time and a half for the holidays and stuff.
So you sympathise with them?
Yeah, of course. Obviously I'm not happy about waiting around and not being able to get across Ireland and stuff, but yeah.
You've been across to have a word with them?
I did. Just to get a better understand what's going on, so I can understand them better and not, you know, judge or...
And they were quite helpful?
Yeah, of course. They're friendly people. Great people.
You're waiting for a bus?
Yeah.
Where are you planning to get to?
You take the kids
to... You've got two youngsters,
isn't it? Three. There's one behind you as well.
Oh, right. Okay.
Peel. So, eldest goes to school in Peel. I have to be over the weekends, you see. So normally get the 7:10 a.m. bus through to Peel. Yeah. And then get off in Douglas to go to work. But obviously no buses.
So what are your thoughts about the strike?
I mean, fair enough if they want to do it, but something needs to be done for people that still need to get on with the rest of their lives. I'm not a bus driver. I need to get the kids to school. I need to go to work.
You're not angry, you're just...
Not as angry as my boss is.
Can I have a quick word? Are you waiting for a bus?
I'm waiting just to get this one now.
Oh, right.
It's 10 past 11.
What are your
11.
Thoughts about the bus strike? Is it inconveniencing you?
It is, yes.
So, yeah. Are you angry or...?
Well, I know they have a strike and it's for a reason, but it's leaving everybody in a mess.
Yeah. So...
And apparently it's on for 10 days.
You're not angry, you're just...
Frustrated.
Frustrated.
Yeah.
So that was John Moss talking to some would-be bus passengers up in Ramsey this morning to find out how they feel about this 10 days of action. We will be joined on breakfast tomorrow by the DOI Minister, Tim Crookall. It's the first time we'll have spoken to Mr. Crookall since the strike action began on Saturday. So any questions, do let us know. You can always get in touch on email or WhatsApp or by text as well. So we'll be bringing you much more about the bus strikes on breakfast tomorrow. We're going to stay in Ramsey, because you might have heard on the news this afternoon that the DOI has withdrawn a planning application for a new flood defence and highway improvement along West Quay in Ramsey. Minister Tim Crookall says it follows serious concerns that were raised locally about the scale and impact of the design. One of the first to react to the news has been Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper. I think it's fair to say he's not impressed.
Well, I mean, it was nice for the minister to, you know, talk to us about it before he made this decision. It's quite interesting when you look at the planning process. Whatever you think about the plans, and they weren't perfect by any stretch, whatever you think about them, the right thing to do is to go through that public process to take feedback from, you know, Manx public, from residents, from businesses, from local organisations, from the commissioners, and then feed all of that into the process and say, right, do we need to make any changes to the plans based on that public planning process? They haven't done that. So instead of going through a very public, transparent process, the minister has decided to just pull this off the back of what I can only assume are comments on social media, because the planning application has 5 comments set against it. So it is very clear that there hasn't been a lot of significant representations made as part of the planning process. And so I'm really nervous about this now, because if you look at what the reasoning given is, there are concerns here about the height of the wall and the number of parking spaces. Parking spaces, I think the department could put some alternatives in place. There are definitely scope for increasing the number of parking spaces in Ramsey and other sites that are just as close to the town centre. But the bit about the wall height is really concerning, because if the department's modelling and if the expert advice is that wall is necessary, then there's not much you can do with the height. Either needs to be there or it doesn't. If the department's position is now that actually that height isn't necessary and alternative options are possibly on the cards, then why on earth did they propose that in the first place? So this, with pulling this at this stage, before he's taken public comment, before the public and the commissioners and local businesses have had a chance to feed into that planning application, I think pulling it at this stage without providing any rationale as to what's changed since the planning application went in, I cannot wrap my head around this at all.
That's Ramsey MHK Laurie Hooper. Well, we have invited Minister Crookall to respond to this story as well. If he's on breakfast with us tomorrow, we will no doubt ask him a question at that point. Just looking at the BBC, Peter Mandelson has been arrested by Met Police. We'll bring you more details on that in just a moment. But Treasury says government cannot be accused of underfunding healthcare this year after allocating £404 million to Manx Care in the Pink Book. So that is, as we've been hearing since the budget was announced in Tynwald last week, £45 million more than last year. It marks the first time funding has exceeded the Sir Jonathan Michael formula that was set back in 2019. Well, speaking on Manx Radio's Man in Line at lunchtime, the Treasury Minister Chris Thomas said a proposed 5-year plan would see the budget for Manx Care rise to £475 million. But he did warn that if spending continues at the pace seen since 2021, the figure could climb to around £675 million.
I think I overly frightened my colleagues about 2 points. One is about the reserves and the second one was about healthcare. So the 5-year plan takes the expenditure on healthcare over £400 million when it was less than £300 million at the beginning of this administration, and takes it up to £475 million by the end of the 5-year plan. But if you extrapolate the growth rate between 2021 and 2026, we get to £675 million. That would be an enormous percentage of the total public finances. So we have to make sure we set the standards right in healthcare, we get the delivery right, and that we have an efficient and an effective national health service. And at the same time, we've got to encourage other things going on around our efficient and effective national health service. So we didn't accept the funding request that came from Manx Care this year in its entirety. However, we did give them £45 million and we can't be accused of underfunding it, I don't believe. Having said that, Mr. Hooper was correct to point out that inside the mandate document there is reference to money that's been spent more in this current financial year, which shows up clearly in the management accounts as well, and that is an issue we'll have to deal with at some point.
That is the Treasury Minister, Chris Thomas, who is on Men in Line with Andy at lunchtime. You can listen back to that as a podcast on the Manx Radio website. You can watch it on our social media channels as well. We're going to stay with health because the Chief Executive of Manx Care says the amount the health body was spending on premium agency staff has more than halved in recent years. Teresa Cope says the service started with a very high vacancy rate back in 2021 with a reliance on costly short-term agency workers. Now, in government's latest quarterly workforce report, Manx Care accounted for the largest increase in headcount, something attributed to continued investment in frontline health services. Ms. Cope says they've made progress when it comes to recruiting long-term employees.
So we've had a commitment since Manx Care started to recruit substantively into health and care posts. We know we started with a very high vacancy rate of over 20% and very high costs of short-term agency staff. So, for example, in 2021-22, we had a substantive vacancy rate of over 20%, and we were spending £13.2 million on premium agency rates. That isn't the best for high-quality healthcare. What we want is people who will come to the island, join teams, work as part of a team for a long period of time. So substantive recruitment is really important in health and care. And whilst that means our headcount will have increased, what has happened over the last 5 years is our vacancy rate has reduced by over 10%. And in many of our areas, we are looking at a much lower vacancy rate than that. And that's really important for frontline healthcare workers. We have one of the lowest rates of nursing vacancies that I've seen since the organisation started. And most importantly, from our financial perspective, we have over halved the amount we are spending on premium agency, which is better financially, but it is also much better for the quality of care delivery. So whilst there may be questions around headcount increase, these are roles that are frontline and we would have to fill those shifts anyway. So much more cost effective to fill those shifts with substantive staff members rather than premium agency. And we've seen real positive progress there. So again, really important that as an organisation which has predominantly staff-based costs, that we continue to be able to focus on substantive recruitment and retention of our existing staff and continue to focus on reducing our reliance on highly paid premium agency staff.
That's Manx Care Chief Executive Teresa Cope. It's just coming up to 5:15 as we're reporting. The BBC just showing photographs of Lord Peter Mandelson being arrested by Met Police. The Met has issued a statement. It says officers have arrested a 72-year-old man on suspicion of misconduct in public office. He was arrested at an address in Camden on Monday and has been taken to a London police station for interview. This follows search warrants at two addresses in the Wiltshire and Camden areas. There'll be no doubt more on that as the evening goes on.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres.
So nothing to report on the police pages. If you do spot anything when you're out and about and are able to let us know, that is brilliant. Cueg, though, there are still those temporary lights at the bottom of Cueg Hill. That's near the railway bridge. That's for sewer works. Obviously, it was closed for a time from Friday. That whole road was closed. But fortunately, just the lights there now. Still temporary lights on Cool Road near the Business Park and on Braddon Road just up from Braddon Bridge. There aren't lights. I think it was reported there were going to be lights on the Strang Road. We understand they are not going to go in place until the work on Braddon Road is completed. All okay down at the airport. The Manxman due into Douglas at 5:30, heading out again for Heysham at 7:15.
Manx Radio Travel, serviced by Quayside Tyres. Call Quayside Tyres on 664417 to book your free vehicle's winter check so your vehicle is safe for you and other road users.
Earlier this year, Australia raised eyebrows around the world when it banned social media for anyone under the age of 16. And tomorrow, in the House of Keys, the Arbury Carstan and Malu MHK Jason Morehouse, a former teacher, will ask what consideration has been given to implementing a similar move over here. He's been talking to Lewis.
It's quite interesting when every few weeks we get schools visiting the Tinwell building. They come round, they talk to us, and we had a visit from Arbury School about a month ago, and this was kind of a big topic in the news. It was happening in Australia, and it was something the pupils raised with us and said, is this happening here? And as they were leaving, one of them said, you ask questions, don't you, sir? And I said, yeah. And they said, well, would you consider actually asking the Chief Minister if this has been considered? You've told us you've heard nothing about it. It's not being discussed in Tinwald, so can you make that move for us? So it does seem an appropriate time to just ask the Chief Minister, has this been considered? What's happening in education? What's happening in the Home Affairs Department? Is it something that could move forward after the next election?
What do you think, given your education background?
I recognise there are issues with it, but at the same time, it can offer advantages. So getting the balance right is going to be a challenge. It's very interesting to see how some of the children in Australia have responded in terms of being able to alter their settings and things. I think that's going to prove to be the perfect test case in terms of whether this actually is a viable option and whether it's worth considering in the Isle of Man.
That is the Arbury Carstan and Malu MHK Jason Morehouse, who will ask that question about social media potentially being banned for under-16s over here. If you have an under-16 in your household, I wonder how the news would go down. Probably text them and tell them. It's coming up to 17 minutes past five. Well, people travelling off Ireland or to the Isle of Man from other jurisdictions are being urged to check their documentation is up to date and to have it with them when they're travelling. Simon Richardson's been taking a look at the new advice from government.
While it's important to ensure your passport is up to date, it seems that some carriers have introduced changes to what they require from customers prior to travel. For example, some airlines now require passengers to show their passports, even for journeys with within the common travel area, which are not subject to routine immigration control. The legal requirements for travel between jurisdictions within the Common Travel Area, or CTA, have not changed, and travellers are not required by law to carry evidence of their identity or immigration status. From this Wednesday, the 23rd of February, the UK will enforce its electronic travel authorisation scheme for visitors from Europe, the USA, Canada and certain other countries. In all, visitors from 85 nations who don't require a visa will not be able to travel without an electronic travel authorisation. Further details about the Isle of Man scheme will be shared in due course.
Simon Richardson reporting there. Well, we know that the issues for some people within the common travel area and certainly coming to and from the Isle of Man have been quite well documented on Manx Radio recently, and we will have more on it tomorrow morning on Breakfast. 18 minutes past five, Manx Utilities is appealing for landowners to get in touch if they have land which could be used for solar energy. The energy provider says solar generation projects are expected to be part of a wider mix of renewable technology, and it's keen to gather information to understand what land may be available and any potential constraints. Sean Cowper has more.
The request for information notice calls for land that could be used for ground-mounted solar panels, hybrid solar developments and the associated infrastructure. Sites would need to be a minimum of 5 acres, preferably brownfield or agricultural land, and not on a floodplain. Manx Utilities would particularly like to hear about areas with low environmental constraints, low visibility, and with minimal shading. It says at this stage of the process, no preferred configuration has been determined, and that it's seeking to understand the availability of land to support its decisions going forward. This could include the development of a single large-scale solar site or multiple medium-scale sites across the island. Those offering their land would need to be able to have a clear determination of ownership and be willing to lease or sell. Those with land that may be suitable can register an interest through government's procurement portal by going to gov.im/procurement. That's available until the 20th of March.
Sean Cowper reporting. 20 past five just about, and a young farmer from the Isle of Man says the future of the Manx horticulture sector could be quite grim as local producers are falling behind their UK counterparts. James Allenson grew up on his family's farm over here, which he recently returned to after completing studies off island. So just what are the challenges challenges facing farmers who focus on crops and plants. Well, James has been explaining more to Manx Radio's farming correspondent, Kiri Kermode.
In some respects, they're a bit like livestock. They need checking every day. They need water. They need fed. And it is very important that you keep a close eye on them, because in a week, they'll soon develop a disease.
And do you find there is more diseases, you know, becoming apparent in the horticultural sector?
The diseases have always been there. It's just the severity of them. It's quite influenced by the weather. A good example is diamondback moth. When I was about 10, probably never seen it, never heard of it. And then there was a jet stream come from Europe that brought them over, and it really hammered the crops because they leave little caterpillars on them that eat the leaves.
God, that could decimate your whole entire crop, your income for the year.
Yeah, it can. So it's all about keeping a very close eye on it and knowing what's happening.
And James, obviously there's trials and tribulations with it, but from a young age, you grew up on your family's horticultural farm. What made you want to stay in it, even though you've seen how much hard work it has taken over the years, seeing your dad busy at it? What made you want to keep on and get back into it after leaving uni?
I just really enjoy it. You wake up in the morning, all your efforts, you can look out the window, the plant you planted a couple of weeks ago has grown, and you're just watching the cycle and seeing the hard work that you've put in is paying off. And it is, you know, really rewarding to see.
How do you see the future, James, for horticulture here on the island?
If I'm going to be honest, I see it quite grim. The producers in England, they're only getting bigger in comparison. We're probably a similar size. And as they get bigger, they're investing in technology and making it more efficient for them. And it's sort of pushing us a bit behind.
That is James Allinson talking to Kiri there. And you can hear more from him on the latest edition of Countryside, available now as a podcast at manxradio.com. Now, a Ramsey family is trying to raise money for the Guide Dogs Association with the hopes of naming a puppy after their dog that recently passed away. Wayne Knighton is a blind resident who had his pooch Keithley until December last year. He was just 9 at the time when he picked up an illness. Now, for Wayne, Keithley helped him gain his independence to go out on his own and to interact with people. And he says he was preparing the home for Keithley to retire when the unthinkable happened.
Keithley gave me a lot of freedom. It's amazing, basically, what having a guide dog can do. It can make a massive difference. I thought using a cane would be an easy way around. It's quite different. I mean, the cane, when you're using that, it's just a case of using that to bump into things and find obstacles that way. Whereas with a guide dog, you're actually avoiding the obstacles, so it's a lot easier to get around. And so after his passing, it was difficult for quite a few weeks. We were coming to terms with things because it was quite a shock. And we decided then, at that point, I wanted to do something in his memory so that we could think about all the good times we'd had with him over the finish line.
It's not just a guide dog. I'm sure he was always a companion to you, a big brother to your daughter. You know, he was part of the family.
He was, yeah. I mean, definitely. I mean, he was well known by everybody. I do still work full time. I work a lot from home, but when I'm in the office, they all used to love him coming in. He used to love making new friends everywhere he went. He was a definite character. He improved me as a person.
Everywhere we went, he would come and speak to people. He would, like, make people talk about him, make people actually talk to each other instead of, like, just typing on their phones.
It's like you say, he wasn't just a guide dog, he was part of the family. When I was matched up initially with Keithley, I had to travel over to Manchester and we were put up in a hotel for the 2 weeks of the training. So they do spend that bit more, I suppose, on people over on the Isle of Man. I mean, they come out and visit on a regular basis as well. So they have to travel over here and get hotels and things like that. It's not a case of them just popping to the next town along and things like that. So it is something where they clearly don't, they're not forgotten about the Isle of Man as such. So I want to sort of flip that around and make sure the Isle of Man haven't forgotten about them. If people want to find out more about what's what events we're going, especially if they're living in Ramsey, then can follow the Facebook page, which we got a lot of donations from friends, family and work colleagues and things like that. But if people do want to give a little bit, then there is that Just Giving page as well.
Isn't that lovely? Wayne Knighton, you can find a link to the page at manxradio.com. Well, Sport on Update is brought to you by the Print Shed, and tonight it is Dave Moore, Fast Am I.
Fast Am I, Beth, thank you. Let's begin with netball. And the Isle of Man finished unbeaten in the weekend's Quad Nations Series tournament in London. They beat France 48-41 on Saturday morning. They then followed that with a 54-33 victory over Malta later that same day. And they rounded off a superb weekend with a 70-45 triumph over Switzerland to make it 3 wins out of 3. That was yesterday. Squad co-captain Ashley Hall, she also celebrated gaining her 50th cap for the Isle of Man, as did fellow player Rachel Johnston. As for the Ireland mixed side, and this is a combined male and female team, they lost their first game against France 31-29 on Friday, but made amends when they beat the French 30-27 in the return fixture on Saturday. Football and Peel have opened up a 6-point lead at the top of the Canada Life Women's League. They beat Russian United 7-0 yesterday to keep up their 100% record. Now, just changing tack a little bit, former TT racer Guy Martin has revealed he used to take drugs. In an article for the magazine The Big Issue, he tells how he used to use ephedrine, caffeine and aspirin so he could work longer hours when fixing vehicles. However, and I must point out, there's no suggestion that he continued taking them once he became a motorcycle racer. And moving on to three wheels, former TT winner Tim Reeves has announced he'll be competing at this year's event, having not taken part in 2025. This time, he'll be partnered by Melanie Farnier, and the pair will be running in the colours of Cole Cox Motorsport. The ex-world champion has one TT victory, which came in 2013.
And, you know, I met up with them, actually, when they were over. They were over the Valentine's Day weekend, just having some laps around there with Todd Ellis and Emmanuel Clement. Unfortunately, it was all snowy and icy on the mountain, so it was closed. So they did a lot of laps to Ramsey and back, I think. But Melanie, no stranger to TT course, she's done it several times with different partners. That's and right. Is really looking forward to being back.
Perfect. Great to have Tim and Melanie back.
It certainly is. Dave, thank you very much indeed. Well, that is all from Update tonight. Coming up next, it's Agenda with Phil. And if you're still unsure what last week's budget was really meant to deliver, he drills down in this with the Treasury Minister in Agenda tonight. Then it's Chris Kinney with Greatest Hits from 6. Time for Brass with Ian Cottier from 9. And then Dave will be back with you from 10 with After Hours Breakfast. In the morning, remember, we will be joined live by the DIY Minister, Tim Crookle. Whatever you're doing this evening, have a good one. Update will be back at 5 tomorrow.